Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Eddie Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We enter the world of American sport, as we often do on a Friday, with Todd Maclin. Mm. Well, there was a big retirement in the world of football.
That was very
football.
Moving.
Yeah, very
moved.
Bill Burrows joined us, went to town on Trent Alexander-Arnold after some comments he made about the meaning of City's titles compared to Liverpool's. And we had a chat.
We did.
Talked about some bits and pieces, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think this should keep you busy. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
I'm besides myself with excitement.
Are you really? Why is this?
Because I managed to get two tickets for Casey Musgraves' concert.
Oh, fantastic.
Concert at the Roundhouse in May in Camden. Chalk Farm, rather, and
nice venue
I've always wanted to. I've been following her for a few years.
Have you?
Bob Harris,
not in a stalkery,
way. Bob
watching
Harris,
her come and go.
Bob Harris
sitting
introduced
her house.
Me to her. Not personally.
Did he? So listen, first you aren't following her. Bob.
Hey, Casey, this is Andy.
Bob Harris didn't introduce. If you're interested to know, she's a country singer of some repute.
No relation to Malcolm Musgrave, the former West Ham
or
fullback.
Casey and the Sunshine Band either, I would imagine. No relation either of those.
Oh, I think she's great. Just
no, she is very good.
Yeah. Taylor Swift into a cocked hat. Whatever.
03717 223344. That's as contentious as people get. You're going to have all the old Swifties after you.
I hope it goes better than the last time I got tickets for a concert, which was I had two tickets to see Jose Feliciano at the theatre in Bexhill, and then COVID happened.
Well, let's hope we're not going to. On the basis that every time you try and buy tickets to a gig, there's a pandemic. That's not a good
sign,
is it? Because I remember in 1918, you bought a couple of tickets for Murray Lloyd, didn't you?
That's right. So,
and then the influenza kicked in.
Should be. I'm looking forward to it anyway. Should be good. Yeah. But I tell you what was quite annoying. You know,
should we play a bit of Casey Musgrave for the listeners this afternoon so they know what you're up against?
Give a bit of Dime Store Cowgirl.
Is that one of your favourites?
That's one of my favourites.
Okay,
yeah, that's excellent.
Right.
And yeah.
But if Casey's listening this
she
afternoon.
Probably isn't, really.
I'd like to think she's. Hello, Adrian. Yeah. Casey here. From Nashville. Great show.
Great show.
Yeah. I went to Nashville once. Mm. Have you been to Nashville?
No.
I mean, we're doing a bit of a road trip. And we went to the visitors centre. And the kids were quite young, we and the missus and stuff. And so we're only in for like 24 hours or so. What can we do?
Yeah.
And here's the Country Music Hall of Fame. You can go to the Country Music Studios, you get a ticket for the Grand Ole Opry. You can do And I had to say to her, got to be honest, we're not massive country music fans.
Yeah.
And although she had a rictus grin because she works in a visitor centre in America, she was looking at me thinking, what are you doing in Nashville, you book?
Very true.
But anyway, I do like country music, but not to the point where I would be steeped in it for 48 hours.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
Tell you what is annoying, though, I'm sure the listeners have had this, that you basically, I was on a list to be notified.
That doesn't surprise
That's
me.
That's not good, is it, really?
That doesn't surprise. I think they call them a register, don't they? Oh, no, that was a list. That was it. Yeah. Sorry, Ed, keep going. Yeah.
And you get that notification, tickets are going on sale in about 10 minutes or whatever. So
Is this still Casey Musgrave?
Yes.
She's dominating the show today,
very
isn't
much
she?
So. Unfortunately, I forgot to watch the.
Like a colossus.
I only saw the second half of Freiburg versus West Ham. There's not a lot to talk about, really. Although it was
They had a perfectly good goal. I mean, they should have had a pen for the handball.
Well, I think
they?
So, but the ref.
I don't know what Casey made of it.
The ref, she wasn't happy about it.
Yeah,
the ref didn't give it.
When your arms are in the air like that, in Europe, I mean, they're always pens,
it was really odd,
they?
And the VAR told him to go and look at the screen, but he stuck with his decision, and more people refs to do
you
that.
You can't have your cake and eat
well,
it
wasn't
really,
that
can
ideal,
you?
Yeah. But that thing, so you tickets go on sale at 10 o'clock, you go straight onto the website, and it goes, sold out.
That's because, you know, touts and bots and
and
phrases
that's
that I don't
it. So in the end,
understand.
I had to go to a well-known secondary ticket agency.
Oh, did you really?
Mm. and pay a little bit more. But as it was on my bucket list, I was prepared to do it. But
okay.
It does seem a bit harsh, you know, for people.
That happens a lot, though. I mean, a lot of artists... Sorry, you are listening to TalkSport. But I mean, it's probably true of football tickets and sports tickets as well. It seems that the touts have just got it off pat. They just know how to work the system, don't they? That's a big problem with Glastonbury as well. I don't know if this is something they're going to address.
It's annoying.
Yeah, people know how to work the algorithm, how to work the system, and that, you know, people get thousands of tickets and people get none.
Yeah, that's the way it works. Anyway, do you see the bloke who paid £196,000 for Prince Harry's underpants?
No, I didn't see him.
And this woman claimed them as a sort of souvenir way back.
Right.
And she sold them to this fellow for $109. I'm prepared to sell him those dodgy ones I wore in Russia.
Yeah.
For far less money.
The ones that gave you a lot of clog in Russia. Did you keep them?
I did. And I wore them by accident the show.
It was Andy fidgeting like mad through many of the shows in
Russia.
One
of the most uncomfortable feelings.
He said, these underpants, I bought these underpants. And then about 3 years later, he said he still had them. I thought the first thing you'd do in Russia would be leave them in a bin somewhere.
I should have binned them, really, yeah.
Yeah, but in Sochi.
Mm, I know.
Anything else?
Do you see the fans on it? We tried to get hold of them, actually. These fans on a train.
Yes.
Luton fans. They're on the way to the Villa game, and they decided to spend 10 minutes each on the luggage rack.
Just to see what the view was like.
I thought I'll try that next week on the train to Cheltenham.
Yes. We can get you up there. I'm not sure we can get you down.
I won't be able to get down.
That would be hilarious. We just let him carry on all the way to Bristol Parkway.
Why not?
Yeah. Okay, well, we did want to know reading this morning, that apart from Jake Paul, Mike Tyson, that we discussed briefly yesterday, we have got the prospect of Eddie Hearn saying Conor Benn versus Manny Pacquiao. I mean, what's Manny now, 40-odd?
Yeah.
27-year-old versus a 45-year-old. I mean, it's not quite as extreme a gap as Jake Paul and Mike Tyson.
I've sent a message to 92-year-old England cricketer Raymond Sabareau. He's the oldest surviving England Test cricketer. Asked him if he wants to face Pat Cummins.
Yeah,
that's it.
Well, these are the matchups. We thought we'd have some old and new matchups this afternoon. If we said Rod Laver versus Carlos Alcaraz. Who wants to watch that, really? But I mean, it seems in boxing, it's a complete free for all. You know, sticking an old bloke with a young bloke. I mean, it does seem very odd.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul has been in touch. Russian and Diamonds fan says there is a statue of Dame Kelly Holmes in her hometown of Tunbridge as well. He said, four still isn't enough, of course, but important not to forget her. So adding to the list of sporting women with statues.
Very funny sporting matchup.
Yeah. Sporting matchups. We mentioned earlier on with Manny Pacquiao and Conor Benn being talked about. We already know about Jake Paul and Mike Tyson, sort of old fighters versus younger fighters is all the rage, but it's not happening in other sports. We did float Rod Laver versus Carlos Alcaraz, a bit of an exhibition. This is a bit of a weird one. I'd like to see TalkSport's Nigel Botherway take on the fictional legend fly fisherman J.R. Hartley.
Who doesn't exist.
And the old actor's no longer with us.
And aren't they both quite, well, no disrespect to Nigel, but he's getting on a bit. You know.
Pretty disrespectful. Yeah.
Oh, he's not as old as J.R. Hartley.
He's still alive. That's the big difference. Of course, J.R. Hartley doesn't exist anyway.
Well, that's very
he's
true.
He's a bloke in an advert.
The Luke Littler backlash has started.
Really?
Yes, Bernie McAllister wrote to the Sun yesterday.
Oh, okay, yeah. How did he spell that?
I don't know. Luke Littler.
Yeah.
Oh, hello. Luke Littler, the 17-year-old darts player, has a lot to learn. Mm. When he lost to Damon Heater at the UK Open.
Heter,
is it? Okay.
Yeah. He has got a nice heater, though.
He ignored him and turned away. Well, it was a heater. He was probably hot.
Yeah.
If he can't face defeat, he shouldn't play. Honestly, give it a rest, mate. Honestly.
He was in the news today. Apparently, he's been inundated with commercial offers, one of which was the face of being Iceland's kebabs. I don't mean the country. I mean the supermarket.
I don't think they have kebabs in Iceland.
No, would you have kebabs in Iceland, David? But they, he turned it down. He decided he didn't fancy that. Didn't fancy being the face of kebabs.
Yeah,
really.
And
you eat one kebab, an old variation on that joke,
true,
of course. And I don't know if you saw Andrew Dillon writing today, the Vera Clinic, we tried to get in touch with them a little while ago, because I think they gave their Haircut of the Year awards out, because they are, they're in Istanbul.
They're a hair transplant people, aren't
Well,
they?
They are now the official hair transplant partner of Brighton and Hove Albion.
Oh, really?
So well done to Brighton's commercial department for
tremendous.
For pulling that one off. Quite the deal, isn't
I'm sure there'll be Chelsea's and then we've overpaid them.
That's right. Vera come to Chelsea for 200 million and no one's hair ever falls out again.
Talking of Brighton, though, I mentioned that De Zerbi, you know, doesn't have the
same... Do you want to hold that thought? Because times are pressing. We'll talk about this later on because it's become a bit of a thing, isn't it?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
But Liverpool are determined to finish the season in style.
It's Darwin Nunez who has scored in the 9th minute of stoppage time.
Haaland on the money scores!
And the treble is still on, the double treble.
The biggest game in England now is Liverpool versus City.
Wait. They rarely win at Anfield.
Nope. Liverpool 1, Manchester City 0.
But now comes the biggest test.
What we learned over the years is that if you want to be around City, you better win all your football games because they do.
Because they're the best two teams I have ever seen in my career.
This is where the heavyweights emerge. They might be behind on the scorecard, but Manchester City can still become the undisputed champion. And how the boys from the Kop would love to floor Pep for Klopp.
Yep, an intriguing game, given a little bit of added spice with a piece that Trent Alexander-Arnold did in 4-4-2. If you haven't seen the quotes yet, this is what he said. Looking back on this era, although they've won more titles than us and have probably been more successful, our trophies will mean more to us and our fan base because of the situations at both clubs financially. How both clubs have built their teams and the manner we've done it probably means more to our fans.
What a load of nonsense.
It's tough. We're up against a machine built to win. That's the simplest way to describe City and their organisation. A few players have hit back. Rodri did. Erling Haaland says, if he wants to say that, OK, I've been here a year and I've won the treble and it was quite a nice feeling. I don't think he knows exactly this feeling. What I felt last season was nice. They can talk as much as they want. He can talk as much as he wants. I don't know why he does that, but I don't mind. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's not like Liverpool, they haven't got a £75 million centre-half or anything like that.
Well, I mean, that money...
They've spent nothing.
Well, look, let's discuss this now with the editor of the former Blueprint fanzine for Manchester City, journalist and author Bill Burrows. Hi, Bill.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Yeah, not so bad. So what did you make of that comment?
Well, do you know what? I kind of agree with him one way, because it probably does mean more to their fan base, because if you notice, most glory hunters tend to have very empty lives. And grasp onto anything for a bit of reflected glory. Well, push United fans at the moment, I'm not quite sure. But yeah, so the key thing about that statement was there were two things. One, we were probably been more successful than us. I don't think there's a lot of probably about it, to be honest. And the other thing was the use of the word fan base, not fans, which I think is very interesting. Because I always make a huge distinction between fans, and in terms of Liverpool, I'm talking about people like Peter Houghton, Tony Evans, proper fans, grounded in the club, and the vast battalions of plastic glory hunters all over the world. That's your fan base. Who cares what they think?
Haven't you
what he means to me, because I've been down there through the divisions and back with them. So.
Yeah. Haven't you started to notice that change a bit at City? I mean, when you look around, you've got a lot of people wandering around in City shirts.
If it hadn't been for Liverpool in the last few years, it would have been pretty boring, you know, because City would have just run away with it every year. I mean, they've almost done that anyway. But at least Liverpool have challenged them, which I think is a good thing, and the league needs that.
That's hardly our fault, is it? But no, I totally agree. Liverpool, I don't expect anything on Sunday. I would take a draw, though, you know, it's not really that good for us. Because whenever we've been to Anfield, we don't tend to get much, and I don't know why that is. Because United's like a playground now at Old Trafford, but you can't kind of do the same thing at Anfield.
Well, it's a slightly more difficult place to go, I think you'll find. Yeah.
I mean, that's true. Twice in 42 years at Anfield, Bill.
Yeah, yeah. And think Anelka scoring. I remember was winning once then, and that was completely against the grain. Yeah, it's not a great record, you know. Bogey team, what can you say?
Yeah.
I'd take anything at this stage, but... You know, Alexander, I don't know why he said that, because all you're going to do, the old thing about pinning it up in the dressing room, he just poked the bear. He didn't really need to do that.
Yeah,
I think also both clubs need to worry about Arsenal for me. Excuse me.
Yes. I mean, I'm more worried about Liverpool because we can't beat them.
Yeah,
I'd like to see them cock it up. But I prefer Arsenal to win it than Liverpool, of course.
It's interesting now that both teams have got the bulk, not quite all, but the bulk of their best players back for this game, which is going to make it even better. I mean, Salah was involved last night. We've seen a lot of Liverpool players coming back. City have got key players back as well in the last few weeks. So that's going to make this game better, I think.
Yeah, I think the one player we are missing, which is Jack Grealish, I think he would be absolutely key in this game because you know how much emphasis Pep puts upon tempo, high tempo and low tempo. And this is a game when you might need to control the game for a large portion of time and be patient and wait for your opportunity. And that's what Jack does. Whereas Doku's a great player, very exciting, but he doesn't kind of have a, he doesn't have that ability to go back, think about it. He doesn't have the in-game intelligence yet. So I think he'd be a miss, Jack, for this game. But yeah, you know, I'm not looking forward to it. Like any big game, you're dreading it, aren't you? But fingers crossed.
I mean, the other thing with Grealish is just the amount of fouls and the amount of set pieces, the amount of fouls that he draws in games is quite spectacular compared to him. I mean, Doku, you can catch him when he's in full flight, but he's not like Grealish from that point of view.
No, we've got great, you know, we've got Kev and we're great on with free kicks and stuff, better than we are at corners for some reason. But yeah, look, it's going to be an edgy game. I think I fully predict that Liverpool will go ahead and then City will get back into it and then it will play out in the last 15, 20 minutes.
What's fascinating with City is the importance of Rodri. It's amazing. All the players they've got, all the money they've spent and everything, without this player, it doesn't look like the same team.
No, I totally agree with you, Andy. It's also weird. You know when footballers come to City and they say that, I thought I knew the game. Until Pep started teaching us how to play the game properly. Well, you know, I've been writing about it for 25, 30 years. And I thought I'd known and, you know, talked about and discussed and written about almost every kind of thing. But some things, when you read The Athletic, for example, and they break down the game into different parts, and you look at it and you go, oh my God, they are doing that. And I hadn't even noticed it while I was watching it. It's a different level. It's like a philosophy, really, where it is now.
And look, I mean, I pose the question to you. There will be fans out there at the moment who look at the 115 charges and they put a light pencil asterisk against all City's titles. I mean, in an ideal world, there's two ways of looking at it. It gets dealt with quickly one way or another and you can clear your names and move on and rub that asterisk out. Or there is that school of thought. The cynic says they're kicking the can down the road for as long as they can. We're getting lawyered up. And so we don't reach a conclusion. How do you look at what's going on around those charges?
Around the charges, I think you have to look at who's leading the charges. And Liverpool are instrumental in that. They're the club that's been pushing hardest for them. And there'll be a lot of people within the Premier League keen to, you know, stop sitting in the tracks off the pitch because they can't do it on the pitch. When it comes to the actual charges themselves, if you've been charged with 115 serious charges, you're going to have to defend each one of them. If just one of them gets through, then it'll be, but what about that one that got through? What about this one that got through? You know, football fans are like, they'll have to qualify it. So if you're going to prepare a defence against 115 charges, that is going to take a long time and cost a lot of money. And if you remember when the charges came out, they were rushed into place. They took everyone by surprise. And it was the day before the government were talking about bringing in regulation. So I think a lot of these charges, I think if I remember rightly, one of them was to do with the length of the grass because they quoted it from the wrong manual. So we'll see what our lawyers make of that when they get them to court.
Would you like to see it dealt with as soon as possible? So, you know...
As soon as possible, but I understand it's going to take a long time. You know, it just is. You know, but there shouldn't be an asterisk against anything the team achieved on the pitch, I don't think. Not at all.
Bill, enjoy the game. Well, I know you won't. You just said you won't. But we'll catch up with you soon. All the best.
Great. Thanks, guys.
There's journalist and author Bill Burrows, City fan, in case you didn't pick that up, subtext.
Yeah, you know, you can have a lot of money, I won't mention anybody in particular, and not do anything with it. And, you know, the one thing about the City have done is use the money well.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to say that.
A quick one on Brighton. You've been talking about Brighton this week, and you mentioned that De Zerbi gets a bit of a free pass, you were saying the other day, despite a couple of bad results. They had another one last night.
They did. That's three bad results in a row. And it's really interesting that De Zerbi was talking about, this is in the paper, a dig at club owner Tony Bloom to bring in new players. De Zerbi added, "This is the lesson to learn for the president to improve the team." Not my fault, you understand. And once managers start doing that, you think, that's not going to end well. You start criticising the chairman. Yeah. And it is, he's done a brilliant job there, and they're a brilliant team, but they have hit, you know, they have got rid of a lot of good players and probably not replaced them as sitting on a lot of money. They probably could have bought more players than probably should have done. And they've had a lot of injuries like every club. So,
sure.
You know, but even so, it does feel like that relationship might be coming to an end. I might be wrong. We'll see.
We'll see.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Time then to talk American sport, as always, with Todd Macklin. Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, boys.
Now, the big story this week, dominating, was retirement of Jason Kelce, brother of Travis, of course, a partner of Taylor Swift, as I'm sure everybody knows in the whole world these days. There was a feeling he was going to retire, but it didn't make it any less emotional for Jason. I mean, it goes on for about 39 minutes, the resignation. He did it at the Eagles press conference. For about 38 of that, he was crying. But he was in bits, you know. He admitted he does sort of about 2 or 3 minutes of crying and says, well, this is going well, and then gets into it.
He's 36. It's not a sport that you play a long time in. That's a massive amount of time. Yeah. Played 13 years in the NFL.
He needed your no-nonsense attitude while he was sitting there bawling.
Absolutely.
Anyway, we'll bring you the moment when he has to finally say it's all over.
So this all brings us here to today, where I announce that I am retiring. Where I announce I am retiring from the NFL after 13 seasons with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Here we are.
I promise you, when I retire from TalkSport, if I don't get fired, I won't be doing that.
Really?
Oh, for goodness sake.
You'll have to be led from the studio like James Brown. It'd be great. Two of us either side of you. A blubbing wreck.
I won't be.
Now, the tears kept coming because obviously they do their New Heights podcast, which is one of the biggest podcasts in the world sports-wise and probably beyond now because of Taylor Swift. And they could barely hold it together. Travis could barely hold it together as the two of them chatted about the retirement. And this was, this was Travis having his say.
To have you out of it, man, it feels empty, and it definitely it feels like it's complete, you know. Mm-hmm. It was a success.
I hear you.
There we are.
Goodness.
Gives you a flavor of it. I mean, as I said, it was expected. He'd been hinting at it, but it's been a big story this week because of their profile currently, I guess, Todd.
Yeah, and we should say Travis is in Singapore because Taylor has a concert in Singapore,
right.
Just so everyone's aware. Yeah, listen, I think he wanted to retire last off season, but kept it going one more year to see if he could win another Super Bowl, but also. You know, he did a documentary. as well. It's funny. He did the retirement news conference in a tank top because, as he said, he's not a jacket and tie guy.
Mm.
It's kind of the first thing he does when he gets up. He kind of talks about what he's going to put on. And usually it's a tank top. And he talked about that tank top was the one that he kind of worked out in for most of the last 13 years. I think. You know, he's going to pretty much have his pick of what broadcaster he wants to work for. Obviously, you know, he's got the podcast we just heard from. And you, as you mentioned, incredibly successful. But he's probably going to get some sort of network television, some gig, whether it's on the games or some sort of media. He'll be doing some sort of media with a big media company, I think.
Yes.
And the other kind of the biggest thing he talked about was he's going to lose weight. Right. Mm. We've talked about it a lot on this show. It's a lot of work these guys have to go through to keep the weight on, specifically for his position, he needs to have the weight on. But he said when he knew he was going to retire, he got down to 285 pounds. And then he said he had cake for 3 straight days and then he put it back on. But he said he wants to get down to about 250 pounds. And, you know, as we've heard from a lot of guys in the past, it's pretty easy to do is because you're not on this program to put on weight. And then so once you kind of become a regular person again, they talk about it comes off pretty easy.
Yeah, I was listening to a thing a while back there. I think we might have even played some on the show about the amount of loading they do at college level when they go to college and just the stuff they're just sort of eating sort of pure fat just to sort of load. Like, it's crazy. Anyway, the combine, the NFL combine's been going on. I think we just could briefly explain what it is and how it feeds into the NFL draft when everybody kind of picks their players for the season.
Yeah, so it's for the players that are going to be drafted in the NFL draft. And it's kind of a centralized location for all the teams to have a look at all the prospects. You know, in the before the early 80s, teams would meet with players individually. And then I think it was 1982, they started to have this centralized location. It's now in Indianapolis. And it's so all the teams have a look at all the prospects. They put them through a bunch of athletic things, right? The 40-yard dash, which I think a new record was set this year. A wide receiver from Texas set the new record. Bench press. You know, they go through a bunch of things. And they also do the famous tests, right? The IQ tests and all these different mental tests. Those are kind of the ones that get talked about the most, right? Because the prospects talk about them after the fact. And they're like, man, this team asked me some weird questions. So this is where it all happens for these prospects and all the teams in the NFL.
This, and then, this next story now makes sense to me, because when you were telling me outside, I thought you said Joey Essex. Why is Joey Essex eating a load of pierogies at an NBA game?
No, Joey Chestnut, I mentioned. This was, this is our little M finally story. Joey Chestnut is the king of hot dog eating. Every year at Coney Island, every July the 4th, he absolutely slaughters the rest of the field by eating around sort of 70 hot dogs in 10 minutes, hot dogs and buns. For some reason, he was the halftime entertainment, Todd, at the Celtics-Cavaliers game. And he ate 39 pierogies. Now, these are these little dumplings. We had some in Russia.
And as opposed to Alan, who drinks 39 pierogies.
That's right. Him and Ray. That's right. That's on a quiet half. They probably had that today already. But their pierogies are these little kind of Polish Eastern European dumplings.
Quite heavy.
Yeah, our pal who was living in Russia when we were out there at the time, Kate Partridge, said eating each one of them is like eating an inflatable life jacket. So the idea of eating 39 of these in 2 minutes is pretty hellish. But, of course, that's what Joey did to... I mean, you've got this kind of room full of athletes and people who love watching athletes do their thing. And then there's Joey in the middle eating dumplings.
But there's something you can't turn away from with that, right? I mean, you mentioned the hot dog eating. That's a televised event. And this event was a 3-on-1. So Joey went up against three people, and you added their total, and he had 39 on his own. They had 23 combined for three people. Yeah. It was a pretty incredible night there at that Celtics-Cavaliers game. The Kelce brothers were both at the game, plus the Joey Chestnut, plus the Cavaliers came back from being down 22 points in that game to stun the Celtics. So it was all happening in Cleveland that night.
That was the place to be. Fantastic.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Popped up earlier on social media because Gareth A. Davis obviously will be part of our coverage tomorrow. Tonight. This evening in the big fight over in Riyadh. And Tony Lapidus is an impressionist and he's tried his best with Gareth. And we thought it was pretty good. Do you want to hear it?
I do.
Here we go.
Oh, my God. I don't know what to say. I don't want to underestimate Francis Ngannou at all. I mean, for a man of his size, he's got a lot of movement, a lot of agility. You wouldn't expect it, but you can't take away from the fact that AJ is a killer, you know? On his A game, he is an absolute killer. I'm expecting fireworks. I'm expecting unpredictability. And I'm expecting explosiveness, you know?
The you knows are very good. Yes, of course, there is yes. Tony as Gareth previewing the big fight tonight.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there we are. That was this afternoon's show. We come to you on Monday live from Cheltenham for the preview show. We'll have some of the regulars. Danny Kelly will still join us for the football. Andy Brassel.
Amazing it's come around again. It seems so quick.
Yeah, Rupert Bannon, Izzy Kelly building up to the racing. So, yeah, do hope you can join us on Monday from 1. And then, obviously, from Tuesday to Friday, we'll be live at Cheltenham Racecourse with 4 live commentaries throughout the show. But, yeah, bit of a preview show Monday. If you can't listen from 1, the podcast available as always at 4. Until then, have a great weekend.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.